Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently on unprecedented times, can I ask everybody's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging.
Sorry, check the screen, turn the volume is down in the chamber.
Thank you, that's all right, you're right. So members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I'll bring the members in as listed. Members should ensure all cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging in the event that two councillors propose at the same time. The person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. So if we're happy to proceed, yeah, we're going to go to item one, which is apologies.
Chair, I only have one apology, and I'm aware of it, is Councillor Owen.
Perfect. Anybody else? No. That's okay. Item number two is declarations of our conflict of interest.
The Chair, none to declare. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. And I don't see any on the messenger. That's fine. So item number three is the action sheet of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting held on Wednesday the 26th of January 2022. So for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Can I have a proposer and seconder for that, please?
So proposed, Chair.
Thank you. That's proposed by Terry Andrews and seconded by Una McGuinness. Thank you. Where am I? Any matters arising on that? No. Okay, good stuff. So, what am I on? Item number four. We have a presentation from Mr. Tim Walker, Acting Chief Executive of ARC 21. So if, Tim, you want to take away.
Hi, good evening, members. Apologies, my computer may crash out as it's threatening to restart and I haven't had a chance to quite do it. But I have a presentation this evening. I'm not sure if it's uploaded and I'm going to do it by that or if I'm going to share the one I have in front of you. So I'll leave that just as a brief hanging question. If I don't receive a reply, I shall share my screen. Okay, I shall share my screen. This is a very brief presentation as to what R21 is. Some of you will be familiar with R21. You've been involved with R21 over the years. And the idea is As the Chief Executive of R21, I'm just bringing you up to speed as to what we do, how we're doing it, and where we're at just now, and then I'm around for a couple of questions. So starting at the top, I'm Tim Walker. I'm the Chief Executive of R21. I've been in that post now for over 2.5 years. I was previously with Belfast City Council for a couple of decades, dealing with their waste management issues, and so I'm familiar with R21 as a council before I became involved with the contracting authority. R21 is a contracting authority. It represents 6 councils in Northern Ireland. That's stretching all the way from Ballymena down to Newry, Mourne and Down. It was established in 2003 and was incorporated fully in 2004. The idea of R21 is it supports the partner councils, the various constituents, the council themselves, by discharging their legal requirements around waste and contracting. We're also seeking to drive innovative waste management programs, and that includes developing infrastructure. And it's through the development of a series of waste plans that we were able to facilitate and develop a lot of the dry recycling facilities in Northern Ireland, a lot of the composting arrangements in Northern Ireland, and we've been looking to develop with the residual waste arrangements. So currently we're working with the councils to develop a new single waste management plan, potentially for the whole of Northern Ireland. And that's been progressing and is now around about 2 to 3 years in. So there's been a certain amount of work done on that, but it still remains an unfinished project that needs to conclude shortly. And there is uncertainty from DERA as to just how that should land, because they too are looking at reviewing their own waste plan in light of things like extended producer responsibility and stuff. Increasingly, issues such as the climate crisis, energy and circular economy issues, which are affecting councils, are obviously a key consideration for a waste contracting authority. And so we've got a lot of issues to deal with and to address and to occasionally advise on councils concerning the climate crisis, concerning energy and the circular economy issue. In terms of governance, R21 is consisted of a joint committee, which steers what we do and approves our various different directions of travel. It meets every month. It's supported by a steering group and various technical working groups underneath that. There are a variety of advisors who support the work of R21. And there's inputs and opportunities for council directors and chief executives to engage as well. And then keeping an eye on all that is an audit committee, an audit panel, which is supported by internal audit. And obviously, a key direction of travel for us and a key stakeholder for us will be DERA and Department for Infrastructure and SIB with regards to what we're looking to achieve for Northern Ireland around waste and resources management. So what do? We have a key role in terms of advocacy, in terms of promoting waste and promoting resources management and increasingly promoting the circular economy. Key issue around development of planning and policy. A lot of our work in the past has been working with the constituent councils around planning for the future. What technologies are we going to need in 5, 10, 15 years' time? Then in addition to that has been procurement, actually procuring the various services that ensure the councils remain compliant and discharge their statutory responsibility. Obviously, a key issue for us, which I've stressed a few times now, is the issue of statutory compliance. And we discharge that through close contract management. So we have to keep a very close eye on the performance of our contractors to ensure that they ensure that the councils themselves are compliant with the statutory requirements going forward. And outreach. We had an education bus which got parked up just before COVID, but that used to go around the different council areas, engaging with community groups, engaging with schools, and effectively looking to promote and support and develop the understanding and appreciation of recycling and reuse. And you can see there on the right-hand side the idea of the inverted triangle, the waste hierarchy, where waste prevention is critical. And one of the things that increasingly I'm saying, but it's a national trend, is ultimately around waste and resources, we need to be much more clearly focusing around waste prevention. I learned a figure yesterday that effectively each of us are generating something close to 14 tons of waste in terms of our consumption patterns in Northern Ireland every year. And obviously that's not sustainable. So there was a big issue about how do we begin to turn the curve and encourage much better reuse and recycling? Because even though we've done really well on recycling, there is further work needing to be done. So what have we achieved? Well, taking a period of about 5 years, the recycling rates have risen considerably over that period of time. We have dealt with about £120 million worth of waste in the core contracts over that period of 5 years. We have treated overall 1.7 million tons of council waste. And that breaks down into effectively almost 850,000 tons going to landfill type contracts and residual waste contracts, and 850,000 tons going to composting or recycling. And that also equates to over £40 million savings for the councils based on the diversion of waste away from landfill. And the key issue for these waste plans and the delivery of these targets is that we're future-proofing proposals to maintain statutory obligations that the councils have, which are around public health and the environment, and also looking to maximise value for money for ratepayers and council finances, while also supporting the development of a circular economy. So a lot of engagement is done upstream with contractors and others in the waste stream or the packaging stream to see how can we better use the materials that are generated and managed through the waste contracts. In terms of tonnages, here's an example of the kind of annual contract tonnages that we're managing. So you can see these various MRFs are dealing, the Northern MRF, which is just on the outskirts of Belfast, is north of 30,000 tons a year. The MRF 2, which is the Regen MRF, is 15,000 tons. Bring sites, 9,000, almost 10,000 tons of materials going through the bring sites. Organic 1 and Organic 2, which is the food waste and the garden wastes, make up a considerable tonnage. And landfill, 150,000 tons a year. And then street sweeps as well. So quite a significant amount of tonnages managed through the R21 contracts. Ultimately, all this is underpinned by a waste plan. And the last time the waste plan was before yourselves was 2015. And you can see that in the broad scheme of things, the waste plan had clearly identified what was going to happen with the civic community sites recycling centre waste, which was going for composting, the bulky residual waste, which would go ideally to a sorting centre, where whatever was recovered would be taken out of it, and there would be some materials going to landfill. There was the dry recyclables, which were collected to the curbside, either in a box or a blue bin in your case, which go to a MRF operation, and residues go to landfill. The brown bin would go for in-vessel composting, which is done at Glen Road. And then the black bin. The idea was in the waste plan, it would go through MBT and then energy from waste at the facility at Mollusc, which has been in the planning system for some time. The other thing we do in terms of that advocacy piece I outlined earlier on is we respond to government consultations. And it has to be said, in the last 2 to 3 years, there have been many consultations from a variety of different regional or national government bodies. And there's no sign of those consultations tapering off. And in fact, I was presenting earlier on today for APSE, and, you know, I was presenting on extended producer responsibility and DRS, and I was having to caveat much of what I was saying by saying there are future consultations due this year, 2022, in the very near future, which we're going to have to pick up and respond to. So here's just a number of the consultations we've applied to in the last couple of years, and we expect something similar going forward. Future challenges. Waste policy continues to develop. Extended producer responsibility is coming at us at a pace that's going to change our landscape by changing our waste collection arrangements and changing how we're paid for some of this stuff. And we're going to find ourselves much more closely involved with the supply chain than we have been previously. And deposit return schemes, which effectively are going to potentially remove a lot of the tins, cans, plastic bottles and stuff out of the waste stream before it comes to us, by leaving that with the householder who'll be able to redeem or get a payment back to themselves when they're shopping. And then residual waste treatment. At the minute, we are putting in place interim arrangements or short-term arrangements to act as a stopgap while we await that longer-term residual waste treatment proposal at Mollusc. Ultimately, though, this is what is going to underpin the disposal of our residual waste, because we're still generating an increasing amount of residual waste, and there's no sign of that diminishing into the future. So that is a very quick jaunt through what R21 does. And I'm now going to turn off the presentation and I guess answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Tim. I don't see any questions coming in there. None on the floor either.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Councillor McKevitt, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Aoife, and thanks very much, Tim, for the presentation. I'm just thinking on your last slide there, it should really read Back to the Future, where the 10p back on your bottle of lemonade. I'm not sure if I'm the only councillor sitting here that would maybe remember that. Maybe Declan Murphy might remember too. But no, thanks very much for your presentation. Just you talked about the £42 million in savings to councils. Could I ask what time frame or what period that has been over for this?
Sure.
And that's all this. I'm taking that's the six councils, or is it?
That's the six councils.
Yeah.
And it's over the 5 year period.
The 5 years, it's £42 million. Okay.
And it's deferred expenditure. So it's not a saving per se. It's just if you were sending that waste to landfill, you would have paid £42 million more than you actually paid.
Paid. Oh, right. Oh, I get it now. Sorry, I missed that bit. Sorry, I missed that bit. Okay. No, that's the only thing I had just wanted to know about the savings and the time frame and that. So you've answered that. That's great. Thanks very much, Tim. Thank you.
Brilliant. Well, apologies for looking so murky. I'm looking at myself in the little screen at the bottom, and I look quite murky the way the light is going. And apologies also, my computer has now only got 11 minutes before it restarts and it's gone red. So I'm not sure if I'm going to crash out on you in case any more questions come at me.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. And Dr. Murphy.
Yeah, I'll be very brief. And yes, I do remember the 10p returns. The good old days. No, it's just I noticed a lot of, you know, consultation, you know, being sent your way, particularly from the departments. You know, has this led to any significant legislation, or is it heading in that direction of any significant legislation?
Yes. It has to be said, it's led to phenomenally long working weeks. And occasionally, I haven't pulled an all-nighter on consultation responses before, but I did it twice last June. There is going to be a change in our complete landscape around waste in the next decade. And the likes of extended producer responsibility, deposit return schemes, consistency around collections, the plastic packaging tax, all these things are changing the landscape around how waste and materials are going to be managed. And the idea is to encourage better quality and quantity of recycling from the householder by applying a collateral pressure through taxes and by providing a reward through incentives. And the idea is that it'll apply throughout the value chain. So for councils, the EPR, Extended Producer Responsibility, provides the opportunity for councils to increase how much they get back from the producers of packaging based on how well they collect that recycling material and what level of quality as well as what level of quantity they're able to provide back. So, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be changeable. What we're doing this time in 10 years' time will not be what we did this time now, and certainly will be very different from what we did 10 years ago.
Thank you. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, Chair, if there's no more questions from the members, I'm happy to take any questions outside of the meeting and take those back to Tim for answers. But if I can maybe also thank Tim on behalf of the officers here for giving us the presentation. So thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Johnny, and thanks, Tim, for that. So if we're happy to move on, we are on item number 5.
Members, thank you so much for the opportunity to present. I do welcome the opportunity to talk to you, and it is something I would like to do on a regular sort of annual basis, just to keep you apprised as to what's coming and to keep you up to speed. So if you ever want me to come and speak to you either individually or collectively, either through Johnny or direct to myself, please feel free to reach out. And thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, so item number 5 is the action sheet and associated papers from the Neighbourhood Services Working Group meeting held on the 3rd of February 2022. And Kevin, if you're good to take that.
Thanks, Chair. So this report provides a copy of the action sheet from the first meeting of the Neighbourhood Services Working Group which is now working under a new agreed terms of reference, which was presented to this committee before Christmas time. As the chair says, the meeting was held on the 3rd of February, and whilst the Neighbourhood Service Working Group is going to cover a range of neighbourhood services projects, including the cleansing review, which you'll be attending next week, hopefully, the focus on our meeting on the 3rd of February was on the public toilet strategy. Attached to the report provided is a copy of the action sheet and reports provided to the Neighbourhood Service Working Group. Much of what was provided to the Neighbourhood Service Working Group has already been provided to this committee at previous meetings. So, for example, again, we provided a copy of the strategy and the report of the councillors' workshop, which was held in August last year, where we identified the priorities for the councillors in terms of moving forward with the public toilet strategy. Progress was also reported on those priorities at the Neighbourhood Services Working Group, and with the report that you've been provided for this meeting, that update is provided as part of Appendix C to the report. Chair, no decisions required from the report. The report is for noting, but happy to take any questions.
Thank you. We have a question there from Councillor Curran. Sorry, Councillor Curran, could you put your mic on, please?
It's just in relation to the toilets at the Coil out here in Downpatrick, and it's a reference to opening times. And because people are out now working and jogging and going about, they would like to know if those toilets could be opened earlier to meet the demands if anybody wants to use them.
Chair, I'm happy to pick that up. That would also have implications for Sinead's department, Chair. So unable to give a commitment here today, but if you were happy, Chair, I could go arrange for Councillor Curran to be contacted after the meeting in terms of whether we're able to do that or not.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And no other questions on that item. So we will move on to item number six. Sorry, yes, can I have a proposal and seconder for item number five? Proposed by Councillor Curran, I believe. Okay, sorry, it was actually proposed by Councillor. Yeah, okay, sorry, and seconded by Councillor Murphy. Thank you. Okay. So item number six is Christmas Illuminations and Celebrations Group meeting January 2022, and that's Kevin as well.
Thanks, Chair. So the committee has asked to note the contents of this report, Chair, and the action sheet from the Christmas Illuminations Group meeting, which was held on the 20th of January, and to approve the recommendations as set out within sections 2.3 to 2.5 within the report. Chair, the recommendations seek committee approval to undertake further work on several matters for reporting back to this committee for consideration. The recommendations do not at this stage involve revenue or capital spend beyond officers' time to work through the agreed recommendations. But when we bring back the reports that we're talking about within this particular report, then there will be capital and revenue implications which the committee will be able to consider at that time. The areas that we're proposing to bring back reports on are the procurement of new Christmas illuminations for particular areas within the district where the existing ones are beyond their useful life in our view. We're also going to bring some considerations that we've had from other groups within the community who wish the council to consider providing Christmas illuminations where we don't currently provide illuminations to, and also the Christmas Illuminations and Celebrations Group meeting thought that now would be a good time to consider a review of the Sustainable Christmas Tree Programme. So we had proposed to do that and report back to this committee in terms of that. So, Chair, the committee approval is requested to proceed as recommended.
Thank you, Kevin. We have a proposal there from Councillor Andrews, and you've got a comment.
I haven't been, Chair. I just wanted to I'm happy to support the paper, and also I think the welcome that the programme of work has to be carried out in trade engagements with the relevant community groups and organisations over the coming months. Thanks, Kevin, for that report. Thank you.
Thank you. And if we could just get a seconder for that. Well, I'll second it then. That's okay. So. Sorry, okay. Apologies. Councillor Murphy is proposing, and Councillor McGuinness, sorry, is seconded. Okay. Okay, so item number 7 is the revision of facility management and maintenance department charges for financial year 2022 to 2023. Am I right, and Kevin's taking that as well? Yep.
Yes, sure. So the purpose of the report is to recommend an increase of 1.95% to charges levied by the department that I manage. So the sort of services, Chair, we're talking about are the charges for the council's burial service and for the market service that we have as well. Attached to Appendix 1 to the report are Tables 1 and 2, which provide details on the current charges and the recommended revised charges. These charges have not been amended since the beginning of the financial year 2020 to 2021. The level of increase applied or recommended apply is in line with the increase in rates for this forthcoming financial year. Increased fees obviously have the potential to increase the income for these services. However, overall, the councillors will be aware that the provision of these services by the council is at a cost, which is provided for under the council's agreed revenue budget. Chair, the committee's approval is requested for the revised charges as proposed, and that they would commence from the 1st of April this year.
Thank you. We have a comment from Councillor Andrew.
Thank you very much, Chair. And first of all, Kevin, I'd like to thank you very much for the paper and the work that you've put into preparing it. I'll tell you what it is. I know that there's work ongoing at the moment at the departmental level about the Children's Funeral Payment Fund. And I know our council here has waived fees for opening up of a grave for an under 18, for people under 18. And I'm just wondering if this waiver could be extended to the fees, administrative fees to charge for headstone erection charges, the post 3 p.m. burial times, and does the low charges for cremations also apply to the under 18s? And you know, if at all possible, I would like to make a proposal that the above points that I've raised be taken into account and acted upon. Thank you.
I'm not sure I got all that. I think one of the considerations that the councillor has asked is we would consider waiving the additional charge for burials after 3 o'clock. I suppose the reason that charge is imposed is after that time, then the staff involved in that work will be going into additional overtime, and there's an increased cost to the council to do that. But we also believe that it's an incentive to try and ensure that burials take place well before that time. Not so much a problem in the spring and summertime, but it is a problem in the autumn and wintertime where burials are happening after 3 o'clock, and there's health and safety considerations when the lights begins to dim, and therefore we would be quite reluctant to waive that particular fee. I didn't catch the other two fees, Councillor, that you referred to.
The point was the headstone erection charge. I know that you mentioned about cremation charges. The thing I was asking was, does the no charges for patients apply also to unpaid pains? I think it's the administrative fees that the council charges, you know, for those services. And I'm wondering, Kevin, would it be possible maybe to go away from tonight's meeting and maybe look into
and to
those charges?
If they could be looked at and reviewed in regards to the sadly and people who are deceased that no under 18. I know the Children's Funeral Fund payment and up to 18 would cover that, but maybe, you know, since the council has waived the fees for, I think, for opening grades for under 18s. Maybe the charges, administrative charges that are outlined could be looked at and reviewed in relation to people who have sadly died before 18 years of age. It's just maybe if that could be looked at and come back to us, Kevin. And I don't know whether I made myself clear or not, but I'm just, you know, along the lines of what I'm talking about.
Happy to look at that, Chair, but I would ask that the council in the meantime, the committee would in the meantime approve the fees as are.
But I'm happy enough to propose the fees at the moment, and also for the officer to go back to look at the issues regarding the points of raised regarding under 18s.
Have you a seconder for that proposal, Councillor Andrews? Councillor Curran? Are we all agreed?
Chair, just for clarification, I take it that's the officer's recommendation we're going for here. Yep.
Chair, the recommendation, I suppose, is that we proceed with the fees as proposed, but officers will look at the three scenarios that the councillor has raised and the potential to not charge those fees and come back to the committee with a future report on the matter.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that we go ahead with the official's recommendation and we discuss the proposal again outside of committee.
Yeah, I would be more than delighted with that. Thanks.
All right, okay.
It's very important.
That's fine, and if we're all in agreement, yeah?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. So if... Okay. Yeah. Okay, so item number 8 is opening and closing arrangements for vehicular access to Warren Pint Cemetery, and that is Kevin as well.
Thanks, Chair. So this relates to a matter that arose out of a report that was provided to the committee before Christmas, I believe it was. So we're asked to look at an issue in relation to the opening and closing of the vehicular access for Warren Pint Cemetery. The cemetery was recently extended, and as part of that, extension scope was provided to allow for better access for vehicles to reach family plots. Anyone who's familiar with that particular cemetery will know that it has got a steep incline when you come into the cemetery, and now we've extended, after you get to the top of the hill, we've extended down into the site after that. So the site has got maybe twice as big. And therefore there's further for people to travel to get to their family plots who are being buried recently. Previously, before we carried out the extension, the vehicular gate was closed and it was only opened as and when required, or if there were special arrangements provided for someone to give them a key to get in and out. But since the extension, we have opened the cemetery all the time so that vehicles can go in and out. This has given rise to some issues. One of the issues is that there have been complaints raised in relation to people accessing the cemetery at early hours of the morning, and the noise in terms of the vehicles has caused annoyance to local neighbours. The second issue, which we as officers have identified, is that we currently don't, when we had the process of keeping the gate closed, we had time then, if there was a frosty night, to get in the morning time to grit. But now that we leave the gate open, there's that risk that we won't have been in there in time to grit the road surface, and that can place the motorists at a certain risk in terms of slipping on the surface. So having looked at the issues, we believe that further patrols are required, and we have a short-term plan and a long-term plan. Short-term plan is that we are going to manually open and shut the vehicular access gate 7 days a week. We're going to leave the pedestrian gate open because it always has been left open. Long-term, we will review and undertake a business plan, but the proposal would be to install automatic a vehicular access barrier at the entrance gate, and this will be on a timer so that it will allow access to the assembly for vehicles during particular hours. But outside those hours, you will not be able to enter the cemetery. But if you're in the cemetery when the close down time happens, you'll still be able to leave the cemetery but not re-enter. So, Chair, the recommendation before the committee is to note the content of the report and to agree to the installation of an automated barrier system to control vehicular access, subject to satisfactory business case completion. Funding for this project, Chair, would be through an existing capital budget that we have for this site. So the funds that we put into the capital budget for the extension to the cemetery, there's still some remaining budget within that, and that can be used to pay for the barrier system that is being proposed.
Thank you. We have a proposal there from Mickey Ruan and a comment.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thanks, Kevin, for the report. It was myself that actually raised the issue with Council in relation to the issues that were affecting the neighbours who live close by. We're conscious that it is a graveyard and people are wanting to go and visit the loved ones' graves and that there, but there had to be some sort of compromise made on. I think what Kevin has proposed for us here this evening will do that there. Again, thanks for the prompt action on it, Kevin. It's not that long back since it was raised, but it will deal with the issues that were there. It doesn't stop people having the opportunity to visit the graves. And as you say, when the new automated system comes in, that'll be even better. And again, the renovations to the graveyard was needed, and it gave people access to the graveyard they never had before. So that's why these issues have only come up recently. But again, thanks, Kevin, for the prompt action.
Thank you, Mickey. And Councillor McAvis.
Yeah, thanks very much, Aoife. Yeah, the extension to the graveyard obviously has been very, very welcome by the locals. I was just wondering, Kevin, did the council consider putting in a grit box or updating the grit box if there was one already there? I know there's one that has had to walk up the hill to the cemetery for burials. It can be dangerous enough, never mind a vehicle going up it, but I'm happy to second the proposal as well. Just I forgot to put in my yes there. It was very much needed for the graveyard. It did give access and it's unfortunate that there was disturbance done to the neighbours there with that additional noise with early morning or whatever it was. So I suppose on the back of what Mickey was saying there, the quick response from council is good for that. But a more positive outcome then would be to proceed and go on with the automated gate and stuff to give easier access to, you know, because it is a problem for those living in around the area where they have their loved ones buried there to go and visit by car. Some thinking of disabled and elderly that have to be driven there as well. You know, giving them easier access is what it's all about as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McAvis. And Mickey Ruan, you were looking back in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was remiss of me. I meant to actually say to Kevin to also, if we could make sure that the proper signage is put up a number of days before we actually implement it, so people are aware beforehand. And maybe some social media on it as well, maybe, Kevin, if that's possible.
That's fine, Chair. And I would say that the noise issue, we don't believe it was... It certainly wasn't antisocial behaviour. It was just, I think it's just that the extension of the cemetery has brought the cemetery closer to residential properties, and just the consequence of people coming in or the cemetery has given rise to an issue that we hadn't really probably thought through sufficiently. And yes, we'll take on board the comments in terms of signage.
Thank you. So if we're happy to move on. Item number 9 is Fleet Replacement Programme Update, and that's going to be taken by Sinead.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So this report is to update on the Fleet Replacement Programme and is for noting by members. So the report outlines the progress that has been made to date and plans in place to complete the procurement process to deliver new vehicles that meet the needs of service users. 75 vehicles have been identified as for priority replacement, in that they've all exceeded their economic lives at an estimated value of some 7.4 million. Specifications have been completed in consultation with service users and the appropriate business cases have been approved. A timetable was established for the running of a series of 6 mini competitions, and that was through the preferred framework by Yorkshire Purchasing Organisation. The first 3 lots were advertised pre-Christmas in December 2021, with the remaining 3 published in January 2022. The tender returns were all due back there in late January and February 2022. The evaluation of the tenders have been aligned with each of the closing dates over a 6-week period, and they're all on schedule to be completed by next Friday, the 4th of March. Tender reports are also in the process of being prepared following the completion of evaluation, with the intention of making awards before the end of this financial year. All evaluations completed and orders are placed with preferred suppliers. An indication of the estimated delivery times are in Appendix 1. Members should note that delivery times from all suppliers have, following the pandemic, been exacerbated by the global shortage of semiconductors. And we have noted in the report that it's unlikely that any vehicles will be delivered until the start of the 23-24 financial year. However, we do have an update following today's evaluation of the tenders for the RCVs, and we have a better news in that some of the larger RCVs are likely to be delivered within 28 weeks from the date of order. So we will hopefully see some vehicles before the end of this calendar year. Work is continuing to identify the next set of vehicles that are in excess of their economic life, and 45 vehicles have been identified, with approximately half of those being small vans. So specifications have been drafted for these vans, which will be procured with either diesel or electric as the main power source. Work is undergoing to determine the exact numbers for each of these, and appropriate business cases will be brought to a future Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting for approval. So members are asked to note the contents of the report. Thank you.
Thanks, Sinead. We have a proposal there from Councillor Andrews in the comments.
Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, Sinead, I'd like to say thanks and welcome the minute on the update on the sleep replacement programme. You know, over this past while, I've been growing every month, every time it's on the agenda, I'm always harping on about it. And I do believe in having a sleep fit for purpose to do the job efficiently and up to standard. I look forward to hearing more as the weeks and months go along, and I'm happy to propose that we go ahead with the recommendations that have been tabled and laid before us. But I'm just wondering, will there be any changes in delivery due to the present situation in Europe or whatever? Do you envisage that, Sinead, or do you reckon that we're going to be ahead on schedule?
Chair, thank you. That's a difficult one, I suppose, to answer.
Leave it to me.
You know, we are aware that, and I suppose from the semiconductor issue, that some of the other councils are experiencing issues, and we are aware that some of the suppliers have actually cancelled orders on electric vehicles for some of the other councils. So they have had orders placed, been expecting deliveries, and they have been cancelled. So this is the information that we have now at this point. And I suppose it's going to be a waiting game between now and delivery time.
Well, thanks very much, Chair. Thanks very much, Sinead, for the update. But keep up the good work, everybody.
Well done, Sinead, answering that one. And that is seconded by Councillor McGuinness. But Councillor McKevin has a question.
Yeah, thanks. So just on the back of Terry, I know that there's an awful shortage of vehicles at the minute. Like even for ordering a van. Just an ordinary van, the time there could be more than 12 months. If that is the case, Sinead, well, these vehicles obviously need replaced, and you're not replacing them for nothing. Have you a plan of action if there is a delay, or can we jump in on somebody else's order that's been cancelled, maybe that's to quicken up onto that on other councils? Do you know what I mean? Is there, or is there, I know there's probably specifics for what you need to order, do you know what I mean? But the delays there are terrible, do you know?
Sure. Councillor McKay, just to come back, you know, I suppose we're in the hands of the suppliers, you know, and it is a supply and demand. I think even if you go to buy a personal vehicle at the moment, there's delays and waits on that. In terms of the other councils, it's the companies that are cancelling their orders. So, you know, we're not able to go in on.
Sorry, I misread that.
And pick up on what they haven't got. But look, we're going to just have to watch this one closely. And you know, I suppose we got a bit of hope today to see that the order times for some of those bigger vehicles is shorter. And it's going to be, I suppose, based on, you know, what they have already, you know, within certain categories and what's going to be delivered. And I think in fairness, you know, the suppliers are giving us a longer lead time. And, you know, the possibility is that they may come in and deliver before that, but they're being realistic with us at the minute. So in terms of a plan of action, you know, our next stage we're going to be looking at what we're going to be doing around disposal of these vehicles, and I guess we look at plan Bs for vehicles if we're going to be in the scenario that some of the orders don't come to fruition.
Yeah, just on the budget for that then, Sinead, on what you've been quoted, I know that the prices of vehicles have gone up considerably. Is there a plan of action for that then, or to do with the budget?
Yeah, well, we're keeping a close eye on that. So, you know, our estimated costs were quite recent, and we're coming in, you know, pretty much on target. So we are keeping a very close eye on what's coming in, and I suppose I could say that the prices aren't greatly varied from what we've expected. So we're hoping that that'll all remain the same as well. So I suppose we're just subject to external forces on these. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, maybe just to add in relation to Plan B, we've got previous authority from the council that where a vehicle is beyond economic life and we have not yet received a new delivery that we can use short-term hire. And we have been doing that. So that, I suppose, allows us to continue to provide some key services. It's not the solution to all our ills, but it certainly goes some way to mitigating the impact of having vehicle downtime.
Thank you. So, yes, we have a pros and second for that. So if we're happy enough, we will move on to item number 10, Enforcement Improvement Plan Update. And that is Sinead as well.
Thank you, Chair. This is an update on the Enforcement Improvement Plan that was approved by committee in March 2021. And the plan is in relation to an implementation for improving issues around dog fouling and illicit dumping in the district. Full details of the current Enforcement Improvement Plan can be found in Appendix 1 of the report, and the key action points are summarised under 1.2. I'm not going to go through the full detail here, but just to pick out on some of the key action points in progress. The trial enforcement app is now available for use, and we are working with IT around the equipment requirements for that to be used in practice. You'll see in terms of recruitment that we have highlighted that we have a number of posts that we've been waiting to fill. So just an update on that is that we're in the process of external recruitment for the permanent enforcement officer post, and the two seasonal enforcement officer staff have been appointed to commence next week. Moving on over the page then, just to highlight that we have had 81 official requests for community support with community cleanup since the 14th of April 2021. We will expect those to increase in the coming year. The fixed penalty notice and actions are included in Appendix 2 of the report, so the updated statistics can be found there. In terms of the school outreach, the caddies are available and we're currently procuring the litter picks for schools through the sustainability section, and the schools are to be targeted post Easter 2022 in relation to these. Communications to date are laid out under point 10 in the report, and we will continue with communications and visibility in 2022. And that's laid out in section 1.3. But before I move on to that, the joint meeting, there's been a recent joint meeting with Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful, and we have secured further publicity and photocall events for during 2022. In relation to the publicity, communications and publicity campaign rollout, we are have broken this down into dog fouling and the littering. So in relation to the dog fouling, I just wanted to highlight that we're planning to undertake targeted awareness media campaigns to stimulate dog fouling awareness in specific areas that you can see that are listed there. And also an awareness campaign to highlight the problem of dog fouling, and this is to include the use of an eco spray to showcase the problem more visually to dog owners, and that's to emphasise the damage their actions are having on the community. We have a number of billboard campaigns that you can see highlighted there, and in terms of PR, there's a plan under 1.8 in terms of messaging that will be going out. Under the litter awareness, the plans are laid out in terms of communications. And I would ask members to note the contents of the report. And in addition to the recommendation, Chair, I would like to add, ask members to approve the undertaking of targeted awareness campaigns to highlight the problem of dog fouling as highlighted in the report. Thank you.
Thanks, Sinead. We've a comment from Councillor Rowan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. If it needs proposal, I'm happy to propose it or note it, whatever it is. First of all, I'm delighted to see the proposals that we have in front of us. I had a couple of conversations with Johnny in relation to this issue over the last number of weeks, and also a long one with Liam in relation to it. And the one thing, dog fouling has been a problem from ever in the day that I came into council, and that's gone back 20 years. And it's something we've never really been able to get on top of or deal with. And it just keeps, year after year, it rears its head in council. And there might be a slight improvement in some areas, but it doesn't deal with the issue and it doesn't deal with the problem. And I have to say, along our own front shore here in Warren Point, leading up to Christmas and after Christmas and over the break, it was absolutely horrendous. And whether it's people using the dark winter evenings or they just don't care, they were just letting their dogs foul. They were doing it beside bins, so it wasn't a case that the council didn't have enough bins. We provided the dispensers for the bags as well. Still, that doesn't solve the problem. But one thing I did say when I was speaking to Liam and Johnny was that I had listened to a radio show which detailed Roscommon County Council and Galway County Council who had used the eco spray. And I also spoke in terms of having been in Derry and seen the way that they used the graphics on the footpaths and on the along the foil either side of it. And there was one thing I seen when I was down there was very little dog fouling. And I also seen their enforcement officers out on the ground. But if other councils have tried these and it's worked, well then it's well past time that we tried the same, because we just can't keep doing the same thing we've been doing the previous 20 years and it's not working. We have to try something new, and I'm delighted to see that we're going forward with that there. It's a major step forward for the council, and we need to make it that it's not acceptable to take your dog out onto our streets, whether that's a seafront or whether it's a rural village. It's not acceptable, or into the housing developments, wherever that may be. It's simply not acceptable, and we shouldn't have to put up with it, and people want it dealt with. And I think this is at least the first steps of us as a council being really proactive and really taking the issue on board and trying to deal with it. So I thank Johnny, Sinead, and as I say, I spoke at length with Liam on it as well. We need to be visible on the ground, and it needs to be seen that we're not accepting it any longer. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Mickey. Couldn't agree more. And Mickey has proposed that, and I believe Councillor Clark has seconded it. And you have a comment, Councillor Clark?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. And I agree with Mickey's comments and regarding, you know, it's not acceptable. I think the council is being proactive now, trying to address this problem. I think that the eco paint, it is proven that is effective, so I welcome that also. Just in regards to the enforcement plan in general, I believe it can't succeed if we don't have the necessary bin infrastructure in place. I'm talking about Newcastle in general. The town centre has adequate bins, but outside the town centre, I don't believe there is adequate bins. If we look at the two main arteries coming into, or the three main arteries maybe coming into Newcastle, you have the Mourne side coming into from Kilkeel, by the harbour. There's one bin on the main road. On the Dundrum Road, there's one bin. On the Castle Welling Road, there's two bins. And that's, by majority, that's the major area of residential accommodation. I've raised this with Johnny about the Dundrum Road. People are asking for receptacles to put dog fouling in, and obviously we're sharing the bins now. You know, there's not a dog fouling bin and a litter bin. So I think it's important that you know, the infrastructure is put in place, because people will not walk more than, you know, a half a mile or a mile with a dog fouling bag. You know, so we need to put that infrastructure in place, and there seems to be a breakdown in communication between talking to the director and then talking to other officers, but this infrastructure isn't being put into place. So I'd ask why that is happening, why it's been allowed to continue. So maybe Johnny can back in that bit. There's a number of bins now seem to be out of circulation in the town centre, even the belly buster bins, which is the solar powered ones, which increases the capacity of the bin. There's a number of them with plastic bags over them, so I'm wondering why that is. Is it because of no sunshine, or why is there a plastic bag over these bins? Because they're a great cost. They came at the time that the Irish Open. They got some £5,000 apiece. So I find it, you know, strange that they're not being used. Maybe if Johnny maybe come back on that.
Yeah, sure. Happy to come back. In terms of the litter bin provision in Newcastle, yes, we're constantly keeping that under review, and members will be aware that we're currently in the process of deploying out animal bird proof bins. That in itself will free up more litter bin capacity, which will allow us then to look at increasing the current coverage of where we have those. I'm not familiar with the plastic bags over the bins, and that is something that I can follow up, Chair, and contact Councillor Clark outside the meeting. That's acceptable.
That's fine. Thank you, John.
Thank you. So if we are happy to move on, we are at item number 11, and that's the report on waste management scale of charges for 2022-2023.
Thanks, Chair. So this paper is for decision, and it's on the waste management scale of charges. The waste management section has undertaken its annual review of the charges and pricing for new and replacement bins and parts and collection charges. The report highlight in Appendix 1 the new pricing structure that is proposed. So the current pricing structure has been reviewed, and a 1.95% increase has been applied. Council are obliged to apply charges for collection of waste at commercial premises, and these charges are based on the bin size, service requirements and the frequency of collection. Council waste strategy does seek to encourage recycling and minimisation of black bin wastes, as disposal of these non-recyclable wastes are notably higher. So members are asked to approve the proposed waste management services scale of charges for 2023. To take effect from the 1st of April 2022, as set out in Appendix 1.
Thank you. And if we have no questions on that, can we have a proposer and seconder? proposed by Councillor Rann. And seconded by Declan Murphy. Perfect. Thank you. So, let me see, items 12, 13 and 14, sorry, items 12, 13, 14 and 15 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part, four, part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act NI 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may be in by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Yes, can I have a proposer and a seconder to go into a closed session, please? Propose. Thank you. So, on proposal of Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it is great to note these minutes on item 12, item 13, ARC 21, Joint Committee Members' Monthly Bulletin held on the 27th of January 2022, on the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Finnegan. It agreed to note this bulletin. Item number 14, Waste Management Procurements update on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Casey. It agreed to note the Waste Management Procurement update. Item number 15, Electrical Maintenance and Minor Projects Procurement update on the proposal of Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Andrews. It agreed to note the Electrical Maintenance and Minor Projects Procurement update. And where am I now? So these item number 16, 17, 18 and 19 are for noting. So item number 16 is DRA recycling statistics. Item number 17 is ARC 22 special joint committee meeting minutes on Friday the 3rd of December 2021. Item 18 is ARC 21 joint committee meeting minutes on Tuesday the 7th December 2021, and item number 19 is historical action sheet. If we can get a proposer and seconder for them, that would be great.
Sorry, have you noticed that?
Oh, apologies, Councillor Casey, go ahead.
You're dead on, Chair. No, there's so much going on, you overlooked it. It's to do with the DERA stats. I've read the document there. I just probably get some of the officers just a wee bit of clarification on the graphic there, where it gives the amount of the tonnage of stuff lifted in the counties in the north, over 276,000 tonne. And then it shows that recycling is actually plateaued, landfill has increased, and energy recovery has decreased. Is there a trend in any of these, or what are councils doing wrong?
Chair, I'm happy to respond to that. I suppose it's not so much that council is doing anything wrong, but what we're seeing is, I suppose, the impacts of the COVID pandemic, where we have seen increases in particularly residual or black bin waste. Now, DERA has set up a joint working group with all the 11 councils, really, to get in under the data to find out why this is the case. There is a suspicion, and it's only a suspicion at this point, that it might be commercial waste that has been displaced to domestic settings because people have been working from home for the last 20 months, but that's still to be validated. Certainly in terms of Newry, Mourne and Down, we're still one of the lowest councils in the north who send waste to landfill. We do not get close to using our landfill allowance, and certainly our recycling rate has plateaued in recent years, as has been the case with other councils in this part of the world. So it is an issue that is being looked into to find out what the root causes are. And I suppose we're at the point where there's going to have to be transformational change in terms of citizen behaviours and, I suppose, what local government does to provide for increased cycling move forward. And that maybe allows me to link back to Tim Walker's presentation, which is why you see some of those major pieces of legislation being consulted on by the various national governments, because they themselves realise that there's a big jump from 50% recycling up to 65% recycling within the next 8 years. And that's the challenge that local government has, but certainly officers both in this council and across the other councils in this part of the world are working closely so they can get to the bottom of that to make improvements.
Well, I accept your analysis there, Johnny, but when you see landfill percentage up and energy recovery down, I mean, it's cause for concern. I think that's only my own opinion. Ta-da. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Casey. And if we have no other questions or comments on any of those items, if we could have a proposal and seconder, I can propose it.
I'll second.
And seconded by Councillor Andrews. Yep. Thank you. So that is us done. Sinead, everyone.
Thank you very much, members.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.